Good evening and welcome to the Business of Government Hour, Conversation with Government Leaders. I'm Paul Lawrence, a partner at PricewaterhouseCoopers and the co-chair of the PricewaterhouseCoopers Endowment for the Business of Government. The endowment was created in 1998 to encourage discussion and research into new approaches to improving government effectiveness. To find out more about the endowment, visit us on the web at endowment.pwcglobal.com. The Business of Government Hour focuses on outstanding government executives who are changing the way government does business. Our special guest tonight is Dr. Kenneth Pruitt, Director of the Bureau of the Census. Welcome, Kenneth.
Well, thanks very much. Glad to be here, Paul.
Well, let's start out by finding about the U.S. Census Bureau. Most of us know the Bureau conducts the census every 10 years. What else does the Bureau do?
The Bureau conducts a number of major surveys over the course of its 10-year between the decennials. For example, every 10 years, we do a big census of governments. So anytime you're reading information about how many governments there are in the country, what their budgets are, what their staff is, what their program is, you're reading data the Census Bureau collected. We also, every 5 years, on 02 and 07, we conduct a economic census, which is a census of economic firms. And in the other years, we're doing things like what we call a consumer price index. When you see an inflation number, you're seeing a number the Census Bureau helped create. When you're seeing an unemployment number, market force behavior, labor market behavior, you're seeing data that the Census Bureau collects. When you see data on housing starts, when you see data on trade statistics, all of those come from surveys that the Census Bureau produces.
In preparing for our conversation tonight, I noticed that throughout your career, you've worked in higher education, private philanthropy, and government. And I was wondering if you could tell us about your career and the different positions you had.
Well, I was a regular academic for a long time. That is, I taught at the University of Chicago for about 15 years with shorter stints at Stanford and Columbia University. And toward the end of that teaching career, I began to do more and more administration. I became a departmental chairman, and then I ran a fairly large research institute at the University of Chicago. Not large by Census Bureau standards, but large by academic standards. And then I went from there, after about a 15-year career at the University of Chicago, I went to private foundation work, primarily with the Rockefeller Foundation, though also with an organization called the Social Science Research Council, which was like a philanthropy, not exactly, but similar to. Those management jobs were quite different from the government management job on a couple of dimensions. Managing in the research institutes, scientific institutes on a campus or in philanthropy is it's less exposed. You obviously have constituents. You have persons who are concerned about your performance and the performance of the institution. But it's a somewhat more how can I put this best? Kind of encapsulated world. It's just the world of higher education or just the world of philanthropy. Government, I found, was a management job that was completely exposed. That is, I was in a fishbowl or have been in a fishbowl in the Census Bureau in a completely different way than I ever had been before. Obviously, press attention, but also the whole oversight apparatus, the government accounting office, the inspector general's office, the subcommittees and committees of Congress that were paying a lot of attention to the census, as well as the public, advocacy groups and so forth. So it was a very, for me, a very major shift to move from management in kind of the philanthropy academic world to the government world.
In thinking back, what positions or management challenges provided you with the best opportunity to develop as a leader?
Well, certainly the jobs I did have in the academic world, the University of Chicago in particular, but also in Rockefeller Foundation and Social Science Research Council, I primarily managed professionals, that is scientists. And one of the things about managing scientists, you have to give them a lot of space. You can't micromanage them. They don't do their most creative work. And that turned out to be extremely important for a Census Bureau management job, because there you also are managing scientists and professionals who are partly responsive to their own, to their own sense of what is the most accurate or the most intelligent way to go about doing a task. So you've got to give a lot of space, appropriate space, to a professional scientific community. So it's a somewhat different management job. It's not a line management job. You don't sort of send an order down, the deputy director then tells the associate director, then tells somebody else to do something. You really manage through conversations. You manage by, and I don't mean to overstate this, but you manage by bringing people together and talking through, you know, scientific strategies, what's the evidence say, where should we go next. Those kinds of properties of management are somewhat different from what we normally think of as line management. So I would say my experience in scientific management is what I really brought into my government job.
Many might describe the scientific management you're talking about much more like managing knowledge workers, and I think your successes would seem to be in a smaller environment than a larger environment in terms of number of people. Can that be replicated in a larger environment?
Well, basically what happened with respect to the census management job is the things that I thought I understood about how to manage a scientific institute, I was able to do. I then had to add new things to it, and that was the challenge. And it was the new things that, and then you had to sort of coordinate the kind of the new things you did with the old practices that you had in mind. For example, I had never been in a management job where I had so many bosses. I've always had one boss, if any. In fact, really, when you're managing the scientific professional organizations, you tend not to have bosses. You may report to someone, but there is an awful lot of discretion. But suddenly, when I got to the U.S. government, I found that I literally had multiple bosses in the sense that the U.S. Congress is a authority figure over the Census Bureau, controls the purse strings, has the oversight responsibility. Obviously, I worked in the administration, reported through the Department of Commerce to the administration. And I simply found that these were different authority, I don't call them bosses, that's, don't mean to trivialize it that way, but these were authority relationships which were themselves in conflict about the next step, for example, in census. So to go back to your first question, essentially the way I had earlier managed a scientific institute, I found quite replicable. But what I then had to add to it was how do you manage in an environment that's political and in a serious way political, but it's also multiple in terms of multiple authority rankings and relationships and, as I say, sometimes conflict among them. As I quipped after I got to Washington, when I first got to Washington about 2 years ago, said, "My goodness, you've taken on a major, hard, difficult task." And after I'd been here about a month, I then said, "Well, I guess not, because I haven't met anyone yet who can't do it better than I can."
Well, that raises my next question, which is, how did you manage the conflict? How do you deal with the situation where you have multiple people who want to tell you things and they are different?
Right. I think the one of the things that I tried to adopt when I got to Washington, I came down here and said, you know, I have no enemies. I may have challengers, I may have opponents, but I don't have enemies. And I decided to conduct myself that way. That is, no one, you know, did not like me personally. So you have to really depersonalize, in government management. You have no ego in this. And even when you're being beaten up a bit in the press or you're being challenged in a congressional hearing or what have you, you have to believe that it's not about you. It is really about a contest, in effect, about how things should go forward. So the first thing I tried to adopt in that sort of conflictual situation was these were opponents or challengers, but they were not enemies. And so that made it much more comfortable personally. Secondly, I had to adopt the position that everyone had a legitimate claim on both me as a person, but also on the Census Bureau. That is, nobody had an illegitimate complaint. They may be more or less sound, they may be more or less rational, they may be more or less based on evidence, but they were all legitimate. And that helped me a lot. As to really answering your question, how do you do it? You simply try to constantly be honest. You simply, you know, say, look, this is why I think this way. This is how I do think about this. This is what the Census Bureau should do. And you try always to tell the same story everywhere. You simply don't try to tell one story in one situation to kind of curry favor or move something forward where then you're going to have to tell a different story someplace else. It does not work. At least I did not find it to work. So I tried to tell a single consistent story right through the entire process.
Well, it's time for a break. We'll be right back with more of the Business of Government Hour.